This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone got us bag a thing now. Makes through me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them are spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Me just a do it like Nike.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Grand Bahama News, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
Good after Friday noon. Good after Friday noon. How is everybody doing? This is Pearly in the house filling in for Naughty today, Friday, September 1st, 2023. We made it to the end of the week. Naughty barely made it to the end of the week. You know, yesterday was Naughty's birthday. Now, normally when Naughty wants me to fill in for him, he will call me. Naughty literally pulled up to my house today, but he's in pain. He's not doing well. But, you know, we can go with that. We can, you know, we believe in not messing up a good story with the facts. But Naughty, hope you feel better soon. And I'm sure the listeners will be happy to have you back on Monday. But in the meantime, you know, got Pearly. How's everybody doing? We got a special guest coming on in a minute. I just got to do a little bit of housekeeping and we'll start with our guest. But if you want to call in, 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. And if you want to text us, which is powered by BTC, it's 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Just before we get to our guests, let's take a quick look at what's in the headlines. That's brought to us by Fine Threads. This morning's Guardian says, Godspeed to Cornelius. Smith demits office as Governor General. Pintard hammers the government on failure to publish report on government contracts. That's the procurement bill argument again. Bahama gears up for the best September we've ever had. That would be fantastic because September is a very slow month and some hotel people tell me they're down to 3 days starting this month. So that'll be good if September's good and we could, you know, up the days for our workers. And lastly, I hope I don't mess up this young man's name. QC student Chirkaden sets BGCSE records. The brother had 14 A's and 1 B. And he got the merit award. He's from the SQC. Beat my sockers out this year. Congratulations, young man. I'm very proud of you. We all are proud of you. You know, I do at times tease and say I'm from the Big Red Machine. But when I see children, and particularly young boys, do well, I'm going to big them up. I don't care what school they're from. And I'm not going to hold it against him that he's from QC. And the business section, Pintard calls for more dialogue on income tax proposals. F&M leader pens suggestions to financial secretary. Aerosport to offer tax. Well, you know there's talk about income tax coming. There's talk about restructuring the tax regime. And one of the things is people are pushing for income tax. So I think the government is doing a green paper on income tax. That's going to be very interesting. Aerosport, and I prefer income tax over VAT. Aerosport to offer tax-free zip code and freight forwarding services this year. Rich, get rich. UB and Smarter Bahamas launches subsidized data analytics course. And cryptocurrency Tether partners with Bahamas-based bank Britannia. And gas going up. Rubis is now 606. SO 598 and Shell 598. Rubis is 571 a couple of weeks ago. 606. Boy. That's interesting. Congratulations to Mother Pratt, our new Governor General, who was sworn in this morning. I watched it on TV. Very proud. We have another lady as Governor General. She will do a wonderful job. I know Mother Pratt. I love Mother Pratt. She will do a wonderful job. Congratulations, Mother Pratt. And I hope it's Dame Cynthia Sohn. I hope it's Dame Sohn. Congratulations. Congratulations. To our guests. To our guests. We have joining us today all the way from the second city of Freeport, the great island of Grand Bahama. We have with us Brother Joseph Joe Dowell. Joe, how are you doing, my brother? Is Joe still there? Joe, you ain't put the duck on me yet. Well, we're going to see if we can get Joe back on air in the meantime. I just want to talk about the young man from QC. It's important that we celebrate when our young men do well, you know. It's very important when we celebrate with our young. We do have Joe with us now. Joe Dowell, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fantastic, and congratulations to all of these wonderful people in the country, the applying Governor General, the new one coming in, and that phenomenal student with all of those BGCSC passes. Oh, my good gracious. It reestablished your confidence again in the males in this country.
Yes.
If you can have one male do that, then you can have many more do it.
Yes.
You hearing me okay?
Yes. I've been hearing you fine. I'm hearing you quite fine.
All right, great.
But I'm happy to hear that. It, like I say, I always celebrate when young men do well. And I tell people I brag about soccer all the time, but when I don't care what school they're from, once a young man does well, I'm going to, like the young people say, I'm going to big him up.
Yeah, well, you know, I originally from SAC. I taught there. I went to school there. But I was head of the senior school at Queens College, the guidance counselor, everything there. And I know they have a phenomenal program there. I was there for 4 years and had incredible interaction, established a whole lot of new things at that particular school during my tenure there at Queens College. So, and then the young man with the last name Wells, I'm wondering if he's from my island, Long Island.
I was beginning to wonder that as well, and I need to find that out. Most likely that's his descent, he has some dissension from there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Long Islanders don't fool around when it comes to education. You know that.
Now, you know, I usually get in a lot of arguments with QC people. Now, you know, I have to tell them, listen, y'all wasn't doing good till a man from SAC had to come there and make some changes to make your school a better school. You shouldn't have told me that. I know I have a new story for them now.
That's fantastic.
Yes, brother. It is. It's so good to hear from you. It's so good to hear your voice, my brother. So what's happening in Grand Bahama? You know, a couple things that really has caught my eye over the last few weeks, and in particular, these Grand Bahama oil spills. And it's kind of, you know, as a country that relies on our sunshine and sea for our tourism and fishing and all that, and our coral reefs and all that, I'm very concerned with stuff like that. Can you give me some light on what's going on with those?
Yeah, well, I'm very happy that Naughty Court got my attention to actually give some of my views and observations in this particular regard. You know, we had that phenomenal oil spill at Equinor where millions of gallons of crude oil were spilled in our pristine forest.
Yes.
Actually debilitating up to probably 6,000 acres of pine forest.
6,000?
Just to get a little background, even to this day, we don't yet know the penalty that was levied against those countries, that particular country. You know, that's a company out of Norway. And, you know, they have, what do you call it, individuals, funds that treat all of their citizens up to $1 million.
Okay.
And so they have the money wherewith to reestablish our forest to the extent that it was before the oil spill. So that is still something we want to know. And then it comes to the situation generally throughout the Bahamas now. You had the one in Exuma.
Yes.
And then you had three here recently on Grand Bahama. So Equinor, and then you had the one from Buckeye, which sent oil all the way down to Holmes's Rock. And right now, to this day, fishermen are coming up and telling me that they're bringing up their fishing gear saturated with globules of crude oil.
So right off of Grand Bahama?
Yeah, right off 8 Mile Rock. You know, we have a plethora of deep ocean snapper.
Yes.
About 2 miles, basically where the oil spill migrated down the ocean going towards 8 Mile Rock and Holmes's Rock. So, and so out there, there's you go down to 200 feet or 250, and you could bring up huge red snapper.
Okay.
In fact, I was told by the people who originally built the Buckeye terminal there, that when they were doing that, they had seen unending, literally millions of red snappers, because that's right up there in the deep water of Grand Bahama, Eight Mile Rock shoreline. And so, you know, these are the reasons that we have to be meticulous about what happens to our country, especially our ocean.
Yes.
That's the thing we rely upon.
Yes.
And our beaches, et cetera. Yeah, go ahead.
The first oil spill was because of Dorian and the hurricane destroyed the holding tanks and all that. But this other oil spill you're telling me about now, Buckeye, has there been no cleanup of it? Has it just been allowed to drift out into the ocean?
They executed the cleanup that they were able to do as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Because they had boats in there immediately when the oil spill actually was generated out of one of the terminals there at Buckeye. And then it drifted. Fortunately, the wind was coming from the south,
okay,
blowing it towards the north and the west. So it did not come into the shoreline of Grand Bahama and Holmes's Rock, thank God.
Okay.
So it stayed off about 2 miles offshore. But nonetheless, I was told confidentially that the materials that they were using to break it up doesn't really destroy it. It actually changes the whole consistency of it, and that it can actually, now I didn't know her verification of this, but it can actually sink to the bottom of the ocean, to the coral reefs, etc. And then, of course, fishermen went out in that area days afterwards, lo and behold, they were bringing up their fishing gear saturated with globules of crude oil, which we call tar, because the action with the sun and the ocean actually creates globules of it. And of course, we had, following that, then we had another catastrophic event on the south side of Grand Bahama, which didn't come directly from Buckeye, but undoubtedly it came from our cruise oil tanker that had to offload its oil at Buckeye, and then they normally traverse the ocean about 2 miles or so off Grand Bahama on the south side. And I know this because I observe this all the time, and I worked at the shipyard for 8 years, very close to the oil terminal, so uh-huh, I know exactly the operations that go on there,
uh-huh,
minutely. And so whatever tanker left, or tankers, on that particular time, and I don't understand yet why the government can't pinpoint exactly who was the culprit or the culprits that disposed gallons and hundreds of gallons of crude oil that formed in the globules and from the wind from the south and the southeast wind blew it on some 20-mile stretches of South Grand Bahama. Now, all they have to do is to find out. And if they don't know, you know, call us and call people who know about this stuff.
If you don't know, ask somebody.
They could easily go and find out which tankers offloaded crude oil on that particular day and who left and what direction they traversed in leaving there. And we know
time.
That often, you know, they go on the north side, the south, south east side of Grand Bahama, not the north, the south.
South east side,
and
yeah,
all day long, you could see big tankers traversing that particular area. So they could easily pinpoint who was the offender. Now, very often what they do, and I noticed again about working close to Buckeye and also there at the shipyard, that when these tankers offload their crude oil cargo,
uh-huh,
they go out, and it's supposed to go out into the international water. And then if they want to, which is repulsive, they shouldn't do that, they can slush out their tanks, and which means that whatever crude oil was left in there, it comes out and it floats on the ocean.
Wow.
Now, that what they could have done, I'm not saying that they did do it within our territorial water, but they did it very close to our territorial water, because in a day or so after that ship would have all loaded, that whole amount of globules of crude oil floated in on 20 miles of the south side of Grand Bahama.
Tourists
coming in, walking out in it, their feet all covered in oil and tar. I went out there and even I was very meticulous about stepping on the sand. And then when I got out of the sand and came back to my vehicle, I put my slippers on the floor to get in, and they stuck to the floor of my truck. Now, what happened was that when all of this, we had heavy winds coming from the south during,
yeah,
those particular 2 days. You know, we know that because we are, you know, our organizations, we monitor the ocean on a daily basis.
Yes.
Because we are measuring the erosion from climate change and all of that, and the depth and the increasing depths of the ocean, et cetera.
Yes.
And also the coral reefs and the mangroves, as you know. So I, when I walked on the sand, and so I went back to the sand, and I said, well, I was walking in what looked like clean sand. But lo and behold, when you take your stick of sand and you rake the sand a little bit, actually the tar was actually hidden under the sand as well. Not just the globules that were lying on the sand or on the seagrass. So all of this was a catastrophic thing, and the complaints that came from fishermen, even up to 4 days ago, fishermen, and they're afraid to speak. You know, they're not...
No, I understand.
I'm not afraid. They can't do anything to me. I've been threatened to be assassinated, and all I tell them, you know, if they come and kill me, I'll just come back and hang them. So I'm not afraid of any of these perpetrators of nonsense in our country.
But you know what is disturbing me, Joe? You tell me 20 miles of beach.
Yeah.
How much oil is that? That sounds like not a couple hundred gallons. Not a couple of thousand. This is like tens of thousands of gallons of oil.
Because it had to be washed in all that way from out the deep water where those tankers were, all across the waters there, and across our one huge surviving coral reef. And even now they've been telling me that when they go out there now to plant coral, it has sunk down, some of the globules have sunk down and sitting on top of some of the live corals that still exist in that area.
No.
So they did this type of stuff, you know. And you know something, my brother? And I call out my government. It has been years since I've seen a defense force boat traversing the waters around Grand Bahama. The last time I saw one here was about 5 years ago when they had the Basra swim race, and there was a defense force boat out on the waters patrolling for safety for the swimmers, etc. But since then, I've never seen a patrol boat. So our waters are not patrolled. And whoever did that despicable thing to our waters has to be found out, and compensation must be made. And we need to know the amount of compensation. We yet to know what Equinor's compensation was to the people of the Bahamas for the catastrophic oil spill in our forest in High Rock.
This is Joe. I got a couple more questions to ask, but we need to take a quick break. And when we get back, we can talk some more because I got a couple things I need. I am flabbergasted right now. But let's take this quick break. This is Pearly filling in for Naughty and Guardian Radio 96.9 Talking Heads. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Calling all junior and senior high school students, you could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, What Does Going Digital Mean to You? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@platoalpha.com by Friday, September 22nd. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio on September 29th. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. It's the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
What would you do with extra cash?
Plan a trip.
Overhaul my wardrobe.
With CIBC First Caribbean, you can get comfy with savings on your mortgage costs. Buy or build your home or switch your mortgage to us and get up to $1,000 off the loan application fee. Up to $2,000 off home insurance. With up to $10,000 towards switching costs, your pockets will be comfy too. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/get comfy for more information. Conditions apply.
Put your best foot forward this school year by shopping at John's for your back-to-school foot care needs. From toddlers to college students. Students, have your child looking smart in a pair of Hush Puppies, Sperry, Easy Strider brand styles, and many more. Durable and sharp, the kids will step with confidence all year. Need socks and a belt? We've got you covered. And don't forget a new backpack and lunch containers. You can find all this and more at the best prices and customer service in town at John's on Rosetta Street and Carmichael Road. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy's Pension Plan.
Island game, keep you with it.
Percy's Pension Plan.
Dream big, we will help you live it.
Percy's Pension Plan.
Island game, we got you.
Percy's Pension Plan.
From the friends you can trust, it's winning is a must. Come play the game, you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
Ready to experience a classic Dunkin' Donut as the ultimate coffee delight? The new Dunkin' Boston Cream Latte is the perfect balance of sweetness and indulgence. Savor freshly brewed bowl espresso, creamy milk, rich dark chocolate and vanilla flavors, all topped with whipped cream and drizzled with chocolate. Available hot or iced, the Dunkin' Boston Cream Latte has the taste sensation to make your heart sing. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back. This is Pearly filling in for Naughty today with Talking Heads. We have a special guest all the way from Grand Bahama, Joseph Darwood. We all call him Joe Darwood. Joe, are you there, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, a question I have. Yeah. You're telling me this, and I mean, I've seen some stuff in the papers, but not to the extent of the information you're giving me. Has the government said anything? Has the Ministry of the Environment said anything? I mean, what is being said to the people? What is being done to make sure this stuff is cleaned up and it doesn't have some long-term effect, or terrible long-term effect, I should say?
Well, you know, when there was that oil spill at Buckeye a couple of weeks ago, which, of course, confidentially, I've been told that it was such a catastrophic situation of negligence that the individual who was overseeing that particular function has been fired from the company, which means that it's a serious matter and it is something that we need to know and we need to be told the truth about whatever findings that they get, because out in that area, fortunately, and I was so happy because I have fish and dove for lobster and conch right off the 8 Mile Rock area, which is replenished with all sorts of seafood. Fortunately, it did not drift into the shoreline into the shallows there. We could dive off the shore and go out and spear fish or pick up conch and lobster, et cetera.
Okay.
So we must be told, but we somehow it seems as if the information that should be shared with the people of the Bahamas seems to be a sacred thing that officials hold to themselves. They are our servants.
Yes,
we
they are.
We pay them by taxes. They owe us. We don't owe them anything. And I just cannot comprehend this. I always say that, you know, we are more enslaved now, and I like to use the word, but I'm going to use it today.
Look, Naughty, tell me to tell you, don't use them. You like a couple words you like use. Don't let you use them.
Yeah, I know. Naughty knows me well. But you know, we seem to be more enslaved now under our own people than we were when the ex-white people ruled the country. And we cannot get information, and the Attorney General is going to say that it's private, what the compensation was from the oil spill in Exuma. That is not private. I need to know that because I make my life protecting the environment for future generations in this country.
Yes.
And I want to know what the compensation was so we could actually access some of that money in order to put into the programs that we have to teach our young people what it is to lay down your life for your country and to keep it for future generations.
I agree. I feel your pain. I feel your pain, and I understand what you're saying. But while we're talking about oil, I understand Challenger Energy Group is trying to get its license renewed or get a license to drill oil. You know anything about that?
I've heard that, and I don't doubt it at all. But it's really strange, like what they're putting out as a proposal.
Uh-huh.
They want to drill because they know that there is an enormous amount of oil under our seabed. But they want to give the assurance by finding it they know where it is because, you know, you got to be an idiot with all the instruments they have. So you could, from outer space, you could tell exactly how many barrels of oil are under the Bahamas. So they know that already.
Okay.
But they want to use this ruse. They want to drill and find the oil and to say that, well, they discovered 6 billion barrels of oil. And then they want to say, we're going to trade not bringing it up for carbon credits. So you got to pay us for our finding the oil. You never heard such nonsense? But that's what I hear, what they want to do. And I got that directly out of the mouth of someone who works closely with
so
them.
So wait, now let me get this right. Let me make sure I clear now. I can dumb it down so I can understand. So you're telling me they want to come into the Bahamas and drill for the oil and or do the research or the search for the oil. They want to come back and tell the Bahamian people, we find 6 billion gallons of 6 billion barrels of oil in the Bahamas. Yeah. Now, for us not to drill for this, y'all got to pay us X amount of millions of dollars every year for us not to drill this oil. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, it isn't necessarily that we're not going to pay them, but it's on the universal thing about the lessening of the carbon footprint.
Oh, I got
so
you.
So they could gain it from elsewhere, not necessarily from our treasury or anything like that.
So does the Bahamas benefit from this, or are these people just parking this money up and carrying it back north?
Yeah, they want to say that we're protecting your environment, your precious ocean, because we know there's billions of gallons under there, but we ain't going to bring it up. So we need to be given money for sealing it off so that this carbon doesn't penetrate out in the atmosphere and increase the climate, the catastrophe that we now have. I mean, it is absolute lunacy.
We not conks, we eat conk, right?
Oh my God!
We have.
And I'm going to call his caller a white man.
Okay.
A white man encountered me the other day out on the beach, and he said to me, "Joe," he said, "I don't know whom to talk to." He said, "But you know, I have a little Freeport skiff, and I was off fishing 3 days after they discovered all of this oil coming in on the south beaches on Grand Bahama."
Uh huh.
He said, "I pulled my little skiff up to push down the trailer to bring it up." And he said, "When I went, there was some seaweeds there that were in the way as he pulled up." He said, "When I brought up my skiff, it was covered, the bottom was covered with globules of oil."
My goodness.
He is someone who's afraid to go someplace. And I said, "Well, you didn't take pictures." He said, "No, because I went right home and I cleaned it off." But, you know, these are the type of things that I cannot understand why our Bahamians have to be so afraid. They're petrified of speaking their minds.
Because we've had a culture of victimization in this country. We've had a culture of victimization in this country, and people are afraid to talk when certain people in power. They're afraid to.
I always say to people, whenever I get a case of arthritis in my fingers, every time there is an election, and I swear every election that I am not going to vote, because I said it's wasting my time to spend all that time in line to vote. And now, after it has become so astronomically stupid what is happening to our country, I don't even know if I'm going to tolerate the pain of arthritis that come on or sudden to go into any booth and to vote anymore. I mean, that, you know, and I talk to so many people and they feel the same way. You know, that's why, what was it? Less than 65%.
But 62%, we only had about 62% of the registered voters who voted.
Who voted in the last election.
Out of the 190 plus thousand people that were registered.
And I hope some politicians are listening because, you know, there's another word we use in Long Island, which Naughty would like for me to use. But, you know, it was a common word on Long Island. And as an old, almost 82-year-old man, I still use it when I don't, when it isn't heard over the...
I'm guessing. I've been to Long Island. I think I know what you're talking about, but let's not say that.
Long Island don't fool around, you know.
I know that. Boy. I have some very, very, very dear friends from Long Island. Joe, we have a caller. Let's see what this caller has to say. Mr. Medusa, there's a caller for me, right? I think my producer must step out for a second. Joe, we'll take, caller, don't go nowhere. We'll take you in a second. My producer's trying to figure out what to get to do. Joe.
Yeah.
You're in Grand Bahama. There's all kind of things being said, but only Grand Bahamians know what Grand Bahama is all about.
Yeah.
What's the state of Grand Bahama today?
Well, it's in a dilapidated state, generally. There have been an incredible amount of destruction caused by recent hurricanes and the closure of certain businesses on Grand Bahama. And it's in what would it call a life support stage right now. Not rigor mortis, but close to it.
So they're on the machine, on the life support system.
Yeah, exactly. That is not the fault of the Port Authority alone. It's not it. It is the fault of all entities in the country, which govern the development and the progress of our people. Okay. If you take a ride right now out in East End, after Dorian, all these years, you would think the only thing they got put up out there since then was some solar lights along one strip of road. And
that's
of
it.
Course, the power company put up power lines. But in terms of any redevelopment or restructuring or bringing back the vibrancy of East Grand Bahama, Freeport, and West Grand Bahama,
uh-huh.
It is absolutely atrocious. It's despicable. It's shameful. And it is simply because the Port Authority is hoping that the government will do their share. And the government is hoping that the Grand Bahama Port Authority will do everything.
I got you.
And they can. They cannot because they don't accumulate enough taxes because the government gets a tremendous amount of money. At one time when the vibrant economy in Grand Bahama, the Grand Bahama was sending over $7 million into the treasury regularly.
Okay.
And I got that straight out the horse's mouth of one of the persons who are now dead and gone. And so money has been pouring, and that's nonsense about the government is sustaining the Port Authority of Freeport. That is nonsense. That is not so at all. We're pouring money into, they're not responsible for any roads or any structures, whatever, in Freeport. And of course, they're responsible for the customs, immigration, and so on,
okay.
And the police. So they take care of those, and they take care of those well.
Okay.
But it's still the Grand Bahama Port Authority which have to look at every amenity within Freeport that would be able to attract people to this island. Government's hand is not in that whatsoever. Even the beautiful area out east to which we go regularly because we do water samples from out there. We monitor the beach. We take profiles of the beaches, et cetera, to measure the impact of climate change, as we said before. And we document all this and we share it. And it's a dramatic change that's taking place. And so we need, and sometimes I even wonder where the representatives for Grand Bahama are or who they are. I mean, I know them all. but where are they? You know, some once in a while you have a little get-together here and there. But there is no progressive, aggressive movement to bring this island back to life. And there's so much potential here.
What would you say is the very first thing that has to happen to start the ball rolling?
Well, it has to be an amicable discussion between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government of the Bahamas. And not accusations from members of his cabinet about the Port Authority or vice versa about the Port Authority to the government. In fact, the Port Authority has been very docile in their response to the accusations coming from certain members, particularly of the cabinet.
Yes.
And so that has to be exonerated. That has to be gotten rid of. They need to come here and sit down with all of the licensees of Freeport and discuss exactly the way forward for this country. And I think, I know for sure, Sarah St. George and Rupert Hayward, they're all for that. So it has to be done because there is a tremendous amount of potential in this island. It is horrible that we haven't had the airport done yet. We haven't had the hotel opened or restructured or rebuilt or whatever. Those things have to be done. They're wasting money keeping old relic open and so forth. The amount of money that's wasted on this island without any productivity is enough to send every one of our children to higher education in a foreign country if they cannot get the proper education here. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. Because, you know, we haven't supplied. And the reason why there's so much negligence in our young people today, and particularly among the males, because we did not supply them with the proper instruments during the COVID period for them to stay occupied and serious about their education. And of course, it's the males who are going to fall off because, you know, they figure, well, the females, even though treat them horribly, they're going to take care of them in this country. And so all of these particular things have to be looked into. And I'm glad to hear the Director of Education and the Minister of Education, who is a former student of mine from QC, and I love her dearly. They have a tremendous amount of passion and so forth, but they got to get the wherewithal from government to move forward in this country.
I agree.
Every child, we have a plethora. I'm glad I'm getting onto this because, you know, sometimes at my age, I tend to forget, but when these things come into me, I need to say it.
Go ahead, Joe.
We have an abundance, a plethora of young people, brilliant minds, so going off to college and university. Many of our, we are being brain drained by many of them because they, oh man, the United States eat them up. Our nurses go over there, our teachers go over there, and they're paid three times more than they get here. We have to take care of our professionals. And all of these young people who may not be able to find immediately a job at the university in the United States of America, they come back here. They could be employed as monitors in the schools. They could be employed to go and visit the homes of parents where they have no wherewithal to understand what it is for a computerized learning process. They could go into those homes, and we could change this country overnight. But we need investments. We need the money from the oligarchy of this country to be reinvested in this country and stop hiding it in the central bank and the banks in Switzerland and elsewhere in the world. We need those assets to be able to educate our children, to provide them with all of the things necessary. It's a simple thing.
Joe, we got a couple of callers waiting to come on. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's get the first caller. Caller, you on the line. Now, Sparky, today you only got 30 seconds because I got a bunch of other callers and they're running out of time, okay?
Do you know how long your callers
are? I know. We had some issues to the producers.
So today you only got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, count them now. Okay, you know, like Brother Joe there, Tower, I, like you fairly always said, at 72 years, I've seen every government that came in this bomb, and I've gone through UAP. I've gone to the PLP, I've gone to the FNM, back to the PLP, and I've seen the better days. We didn't have portals with the UBP. And as they came and went back and changed from this one to the next, we just getting bigger portals and wells and oceans in the doggone in the middle of the road. Can't get the roads fixed. I hear them talking about they got plans to build a new house of assembly, plans to build a new central bank. They just blow up the post office. They blow up the other place down by the sports center, by the university. They blow up everything they build. They can't build something to last forever. Government house been here from Sir Woods Rogers. But we can't build a hospital.
Sparky, we spoke about
the
this. Sparky.
Wealth of the nation is the wealth of the nation.
Yes, it is. We spoke about this yesterday, Sparky. And the message is getting out there. I gotta go to another caller. Caller, you on the air?
Yeah, what's going on, buddy?
I can let you know when
yeah.
I know.
Yeah, Mr. Joseph Darwin, it's always a pleasure. Some quick input here. I don't know if you was referring to the oil spill and I just or a recent one in Freeport. I wasn't keeping up that.
He talked a little bit about the one in Exum, and he talked about the two in Grand Bahama or three in Grand Bahama.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how recent it was, but I know it spills in Grand Bahama. But I just wanted to open up the people's mind to the farce that was going on here. So we would all know that. When the oil forms, according to the volume, they form plumes and they submerge themselves in the bottom of the in the ocean. So you wouldn't see what's going on. So I just like Dr. Darwin, the comment on the fact that they said the spill that I just was ignored for over a month, right? And to make the people, the politicians, people be mindful. Because Sparky, the hospital interfaces with what I'm about to say. The environmental impact assessment. What I'm not seeing from all the geniuses, right, is they're not including humans in these studies to find out humans are environs. So when you do an environmental impact assessment, of course, maybe for the fish, the frog, or whatever, but it's all about humans too. So just bear that in mind because they seem oblivious to the actual, something that is actually factual. And it's vexing. That's what I'm saying. It's very vexing.
Understood. Joe, before you comment, Joe, let me just read a couple of quick texts, please. And I don't know if this is true, so you have to correct me on this one. Please remind Joe that BAIC owns a 49% of Equinox. Government gets paid for every barrel of oil that leaves the terminal. My question is, who is there to represent the government's interests? And then there's another one that I am one of those from the Bahamas living in the United States because I applied twice to UB and was not hired. A North Carolina connection. Oh, boy. Just take this caller, Joe, and then I can let you have the last say because we're about running out of time. So we're going to take this last caller, Joe, and then you're going to have the last say into the 5 o'clock hour.
Hey, what's up? What's happening, Billy?
Go ahead, my brother. What's happening?
Hey, what people need to realize is that water, the density of water is much heavier than oil. Therefore, oil always sits on top of the water. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible for water for oil to sink to the bottom of the ocean.
In its liquid form. In its liquid form.
And it's liquid. Period. Period. Just look at the density of oil, look at the density of water. Density of water is like 1.22, 1.230, something like that. Whereby oil is a 0.9 something. So it's impossible for oil to go to the bottom.
Okay, let me come
oil
in
always,
there.
Sorry, it's impossible for water to go to the bottom. Oil always floats on top of water. Look at any oil spill through the water and through the world. Okay. Oil always on top of the water.
All right, we'll let Joe comment.
Yeah, he's absolutely correct.
Okay.
But the problem is when you have coral reefs that are almost out of the water, and you have raging storms, water winds coming from the south and the southeast. This is the reason why some of the coral reefs, because of the surge of the ocean coming in, actually had the globules of oil embedded in the reef. And then, of course, on the shoreline, it was there. And when the gentleman brought up his boat, of course, he dragged it through the sand and through the seaweed and in the sides of the boat. And then with respect to the gentleman fishing at the deep water of Buckeye, when they pulled up their gear, of course, they brought it up through the surface of the water and it came up with the globules. And we have pictures to verify that that's what actually took place from the deep water fishermen 2 miles off the coast of 8 Mile Rock.
This text that says the government owns 49% of the BAIC owns 49% of Equinox. Is that true?
I have heard that, but I would really like for that to be validated because then, you know, I have asked over and over again, for example, just like Bahama Rock, which is another catastrophe because now they're talking about excavating aggregate and we're building all the roads and the buildings in Florida. And I don't see one line on our national budget of money coming from Marriott, which is sending out billions and billions of dollars of our aggregate to the United States. And I don't see any benefit coming to us. And now I've been told confidentially that they want to go and they want to dig up because we prevented them years ago from going across the road to dig into the wetlands, going into 8 Mile Rock. Now they want permission. I hear they were in Nassau recently to get permission from the government. Apparently they already got it from the port that they could go and dig where the old cement company used to be because they're running out of this precious aggregate that we seem to get nothing from other than a couple of jobs. But getting, what was the question now again? About Equinor.
Yeah.
I've heard that, but maybe that's why. And who are the individuals? Because sometimes, you know, we've been told, because nothing is made known, that is a secret deal between certain individuals in political position, both here and in elsewhere, that they get by without any compensation that we know of. In spite of the fact, you know, that we've been there from day one, hundreds of times, and we examined the whole environment. We know what they've done to the wetlands. We know what they've done to the pine forests. We know what they've done to the palmetto farms. So we have all of this documented. And so I'm hoping that sensibility will take hold of our country, our government, to know that we have a sacred responsibility to safeguard these precious islands and its waters for future generations. We don't own it. We're borrowing it from them.
We certainly
are. So if
are.
I can't stand more, God bless you all, and God bless Bahamaland.
Joe, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been very informative to me. I have family in Grand Bahama. I visit Grand Bahama quite a lot. But it's always good to talk to Grand Bahamians to get the insight. And thank you so much for spending this hour with me. And I hope we can talk again sometime soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you. God bless and have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks, Joe. We're going to take our last break and then we're going to go into the news. And when we come back, we're going to talk some football, some baseball. We can talk sports. This is Pearly filling in for Naughty and Talking Heads on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be back on the flip side of the hour.
Ready to experience a classic Dunkin' Donut as the ultimate coffee delight? The new Dunkin' Boston Cream Latte is the perfect balance of sweetness and indulgence. Savor freshly brewed bowl espresso, creamy milk, rich dark chocolate and vanilla flavors, all topped with whipped cream and drizzled with chocolate. Available hot or iced, the Dunkin' Boston Cream Latte has the taste sensation to make your heart sing. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
It's back to school season again. Send your kids off with everything they need, from books, uniforms, to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back to school prizes. Call 352-6676.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Juicy fried chicken, mashed potatoes with and a hot buttery biscuit for only $5. That's genius. Part of the KFC Genius menu, the KFC $5 snack box delivers on flavor and value. Need to feed more than one? KFC's Great Picks has got you covered. Packed with four thighs and four legs, fried to golden perfection, plus four buttery biscuits for only $20. More genius. Hungry for deals? The Genius Menu at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Grand Bahama News, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
And welcome back to Talking Heads on Guardian Radio. Time to talk sports. This is Pearly filling in today for Naughty, who's under the weather. I hope you feel better pretty soon, Naughty. Boy, that was an interesting hour talking about Grand Bahama. I really enjoyed that. But now I can do what I really, really enjoy, talk sports. So if you want to call in, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, or BTC. Powers our text line at 422-4796. Before we get started, I want to say shout out to two people. My classmate, my dear friend, who always gives me encouragement, Brother Jason Snake Sanders. I want to say good afternoon to my brother. And I want to say a special hello to Senator Maxine Seymour, who who's been giving me some encouraging words and who yesterday gave me a really strong text of encouragement and as I get into this new thing, trying to do talk radio a little bit. So I want to say hi to those two special people today. So 6 days before football, a lot of stuff been happening. You know, a lot of the teams cut down to 53 and a lot of teams signed back some players. So just before we get into all of that, let's get into today in sports history. Today is Friday, the first day of September, 2023. And some really good people born in September. I got a sister, I got a son, I got a daddy all born in September. Some really cousins, really good people born in September. In 1906, Jack Combs of the American League Philadelphia Athletics pitched 24 innings against the Boston Red Sox. In 1971, Danny Martor of the Pittsburgh Pirates gave his lineup card to the umpire with the names of 9 black baseball players on it. This was the first for Major League Baseball. In 1982, J.R. Richard returned to Major League Baseball after a 2-year absence following a near-fatal stroke. In 1998, Mark McGwire of the St. Louis Cardinals hit his 56 and 57 home runs to set a new National League record. He would eventually reach a total of 70 for the season on September the 27th. In 1999, 22 of Major League Baseball's 68 permanent umpires were replaced. The problem arose from their union's failed attempt to force an early start to negotiations for a new labor contract. And in 2004, in Colorado, the sexual assault charges against Kobe Bryant was dropped after the victim decided not to participate. And the sports quote of the day, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight in the dog. Archie Griffin, Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, that was some interesting stuff. I remember the situation with Kobe. Can't talk about some of the details you heard, but that's cool. What's going on in Bahamian sports today on the sports page of the Nassau Guardian? Bahamian Trio sees action in Zurich. Miller Ubo clocked season best 51.83 to win the 400 meters, and Devon Charlton participated in the 100-meter hurdles, and the great Anthony Strawn also participated. Bahamas ready for Puerto Rico. That's in soccer. That's coming up. You had a nice training session, yes, on Wednesday. I think they're looking pretty good. I'd be anxious to see how we do against Puerto Rico. And Mingo, that's the UB Mingo's women's volleyball game's valuable experience. I like how we put it when our team go and we get beat. They got valuable experience. But I'm sure they did because it's a young team. It's a young team coached by a really good guy. It's a very young team. So Raymond, my good friend Raymond, it's called him Rhymes, is the coach. So I know he has a young team. They're learning. And if he's anything to do with it, they'll be a lot better by the time the season, at the end of the season. He will teach them volleyball because he does know the sport. Right away, we got a caller. Somebody will mess with me early. So, Mr. caller, you on there. Who's this?
Hello.
Right here, my brother.
Yeah, listen, I saw you the call back concerning the caller, the last call, right? What happened is, Pearly, just quickly here. I said under certain conditions, right? Now, if the caller didn't know what an oil plume was, then maybe he should have gone and looked it up. But oil plumes do form. I don't want to get into the science of it, but they form during the deep water rising and when a lot of water, when a lot of oil is underground from the degradation of the hydrogen and carbon and sedimentation, like Dr. Gabel had mentioned.
Yes.
You could go and Google fallout plume of submerged oil from deep water horizon. I don't make up the science. Oil plumes do form. Of course, I would know oil and water is not miscible because we can see the color of the rainbow on the water. That's a no-brainer, man. But you could have just, if you didn't know what plumes was, then you should have gone investigate. You know, people just like to contradict when there's no contradiction. Oil plumes do form, my brother. Check it out. I don't need to get into the science of it. You go and go and read it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carla. I love this. I just love this. Anyway, back to sports. Now, I love my kids a lot. I love my kids. But I don't talk to them every day because they're doing their thing. So I haven't talked to my oldest son for a couple of days. So you know this morning my phone, bright 7:30 this morning, the young man called me. Now when I see his name come up on the phone, I get a little concerned. I hope nothing wrong with my grandson. Then I realize the Atlanta Braves beat the Dodgers last night. And he couldn't wait to rub it in. Him and Teddy Sweeten, two brave, big, brave fans. So, Teddy, I know you're listening. Congratulations on your win yesterday, but you can lose the next three. Guarantee that. I guarantee that you're going to lose the next three. Now, it was a really interesting game because right now you have the season coming down to the last 20-some games. So the talk is who's going to be the MVP, who's going to be the Cy Young. So all season, they were talking about this kid from Atlanta, Robert Acuna, who can be he's the runaway candidate for MVP, runaway. He had a teammate named Olsen who was really putting up some good numbers, but you got two fellas on the West Coast, one named Mookie Betts and one named Freddie Freeman. And in the last 6 weeks, Mookie Betts has been making an argument as to Robert Acuna is not the MVP. Let's talk about this some more. So in the game yesterday, Acuna came in and hit a grand slam to put the Braves up 5-1 on the Dodgers. And then Mookie Betts came back and said, hey, if you could do that, I could do this. And Mookie hit a three-run shot. Then Mookie came back in his next at bat and hit another shot. So people were saying, you think they're thinking about it? You think they're worrying about who can win the MVP? Because they look like both of them are stepping up their game. And matter of fact, Robert Acuna almost robbed Mookie at the first home run. He just missed it by maybe a fraction of an inch. So it's kind of fun to see this argument come on. It's kind of fun for my son to call me, tell me don't duck him because he can call me every morning. I tell him, when I call you, don't tell me you with no patient. Don't tell me you're in the operating theater. Answer the phone because I will be rubbing it in. And I will call early, early in the morning as to what happened with my Dodgers and those Atlanta Braves. So baseball is winding down. This is the last month of baseball, basically. So you may have about 29, 30 games to go. For the most part, when you look at the standings, for the most part, we could almost safely say, unless something seriously happens and these teams just crash, you could almost safely say there are certain teams that we know going to win their division. We sure that they're going to win their division. We know, all right, well, we can't argue too much about the American League East because that's still a tight race between Baltimore and the Rays. The Rays only a game and a half back. We know there's a good race with the Twins and the Guardians, but I think the Twins are starting to pull out. The Guardians are now 5 games back. We know there's a wonderful race in the American League West between the Seattle Mariners, the Houston Astros, who are tied for first, and then the Texas Rangers, who are a game out. That's going to be a really good race to watch. But when we go to the National League, the Braves already win that division. You might say they're 14 games out. So by the middle of September, they'll clinch that division. Milwaukee is in a good fight right now with the Cubs. I think the Reds are starting to fade. They're now 6.5 out. I always say August is where you separate men from boys and champions from contenders. That young Cincinnati team is now starting to show you the experience pays in Major League Baseball, particularly when it comes to August. Then you look at the Dodgers, who got a 13.5 game lead on the Giants. So you could almost safely say the Dodgers and the Braves have pretty much won their division. Just a matter of time. But what I love about what baseball has done to rejuvenate baseball and make it that much a better fun to watch at the end of the season is by offering 3 wild card teams. So when you look at the wild cards, you know that the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Brewers are the first place. So when you look at the wild cards, you got Philadelphia is the number one wild card team, and then you got the Cubs only 2.5 back. You got the Giants. Well, the Cubs are 2.5 back from them, and then the Giants 2 back from the Cubs for that third for the second place. Then you got the Diamondbacks, which is a game back from the third spot. The Reds, who are 2 back. The Marlins, who are 3 back. So you basically have 1, 2, 5 teams who fighting over 2 spots. So it's going to be interesting to see. And they're going to play each other. The Diamondbacks and the Giants are going to play each other. So that's going to be fun to watch. And then you look at the American League. You have Baltimore, Seattle, and Minnesota. You don't know who's going to be who. You don't know who's going to be who, because when you look at the wild cards, you got the Rays, the Astros, and the Rangers. Oh, they're the 3, and then you got Toronto, 2.5 back. Boston, I think, is starting to fade as well. They're 6.5 back. See, they came to LA and got the feelings hurt, and after that, they're going to get it together. So they're 6.5 back now. So that race pretty much, I think, is for 2 spots. There are 3 teams fighting over 2 spots, Houston, Texas, and the Blue Jays. So it'll be quite interesting to watch how that race comes out. And then so you're starting to see players stepping up their game. And then now this is call-up day. So today you're going to have a bunch of players. I think, I don't know how many, I think it's 10 or 20 players that are going to be called up to join the rosters of the team for the rest of the season. So you're going to get a 1 or 2, like Miguel Vargas from the Dodgers, who was the starting second baseman again this season, who got sent. He'll probably be up to try to get the play to see if he can make the playoff roster. So that's going to be some fun things to watch. I see the Americans running FIBA. Montenegro gave them a good run for their money, a really good run for their money last night. So they got Lithuania coming up. Lithuania is undefeated. They're playing, I think, Greece tonight. So we'll see what happens there. And then the Americans and Lithuanians, I think, play tomorrow or the day after. And hopefully Lithuania will beat Greece. So you'll have two undefeated teams playing each other. And the winner will take the division. And the second place guy will be the will also go onto the knockout series. So let's keep an eye on that. The Americans are not, and like the guy from Montenegro said yesterday, the Americans haven't brought their A squad. They brought their 1B squad. But they still got a lot of talent, a whole lot of talent. So it ain't nothing easy to look at. College football started last night. They had some good games. Utah was all over Florida, all over Florida. And Utah's number one quarterback didn't play. So Florida beat them last year. So now remember that Florida beat them last year. If you don't remember, I'm telling you, Florida beat them last year in at the last play of the game or something like that. It was an upset. So it was heartbreaking. It was hurting. So Utah came with vengeance. I mean, vengeance. They were all over Florida today. I see you Alabama fans. I see Jalen Milroe is the starting quarterback for Alabama now. I don't know much about that kid. He's a redshirt fresh sophomore, so that means he started as freshman year, would be under center for Saturday. He's a brother, so that's kind of cool to see. Nick Saban chose him. Chose him over Tyler Buckner. Over Tyler Buckner. A lot of people thought Tyler Buckner would have gotten it. So this guy replaces Bryce Young, who I think Bryce Young is with Carolina. I could be wrong. So that's good. That's interesting because early in the week, so much pressure was on Nick Saban about choosing who's starting quarterback, and he's like, "Oh, we're not doing that. We're not set no scales and nothing on who's who. We're not setting no depth list and nothing like that. We'll let you know who the starter is." So he announced today that the starter is Jalen Milroe. He's the one who's going to be playing. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. They play Saturday. It's an easy game, so it's a good start. They got Middle Tennessee State. They should annihilate Middle Tennessee State. So that'll be his debut. Redshirt sophomore. So that means he still has 4 years of eligibility. He didn't play his freshman year, so he has 4 years of eligibility if he decides to continue playing. On Monday we'll talk with Marty. We'll talk about the call ups and see which teams who brought some fellas up to play for the month of September. And then at the end of September, when the season starts, they'll have the playoff roster. So they'll pick a roster for the division, and then if they make it to the World Series, they'll have a World Series roster. So you have some players who may make the division, don't make the World Series. I think they're talking about Chris Jones. Hey, and Mr. KC, I see some suitors are for your Chris Jones. Kansas City's all-pro defensive tackle, he's not happy, and I understand that there's some teams acquiring as to whether he would be willing to be traded. So that's going to be interesting. I wonder if you could give me some comments on that. Mike Evans could be leaving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'd leave them too. Now, I'm trying to figure out what the Patriots going to do for a number two quarterback. I know they just signed a wide receiver, former Viking wide receiver, Jalen Rager. He's the 2020. He's their 2020 first round pick. That's interesting to see. I see Hawkinson got a deal done. That's the tight end. Nothing too much. It's just everybody now. Vikings. This is Hawkins I'm talking about. $68.5 million 4-year contract, which is not bad. It's about $15-17 million a year. That's not too bad. That's good. Some good money for him. And at his level, I got him on a fantasy team, so I hope he does well. So right now, what is going on with the NFL is they cut down. Everybody went through waivers. And then you pick up your practice squad, and then you take it from there. So if somebody gets hurt, you call that person up, and you move on. So you have a couple of standby players you call. Texter, great show as usual. Let me make sure I read this before I go. First of all, the texter said, "Great show as usual, Pearly. Could you tell Naughty happy birthday? And also, you forgot to give Naughty's age yesterday. Boy, I tell you, these numbers people. Great show as usual. Question is, Tyreek Hill enough firepower to carry them? Carry your can sardines to the promised land and get a ring, or will they have to get one from the pawn shop? Jeff, you really got to stop, you know. You really, really got to behave yourself. Tyreek Hill, see, the difference with the Dolphins this year is the Dolphins has a really, 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 really good wide receiver room and a pretty decent running back room. And why I said that is because they had a chance to go after Dalvin Cook, and they made some inquiries on Jonathan Taylor. And when they said they wanted Waddle for John, they told him upright no. The Dolphins do not need another running back, but if they had gotten somebody like Dalvin Cook or Jonathan Taylor, it would have been good to have. So my answer to you, Taylor, texter, is Tyreek Hill and Jaden Waddle together will be more than enough that the Dolphins would need, plus they got some good backups. The running back, I'm very happy with the running back room, so I'm excited for football to get started. I got a message from a certain friend of mine. I'm not going to give you credit and call your name, but the Houston Texans will beat the Dolphins. That will not happen. That will not happen, my brother. That will not happen. We're not going to allow that to happen at all. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more sports. We're going to get a little more into the NFL. Take your calls, take your texts, and see what's going on. This is Pearly filling in for Naughty Talking Heads on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year.
Percy's Pension Plan. Island game, keep you with it. Percy's Pension Plan. Dream big, we will help you live it. Percy's Pension Plan. Island game, we got you. Percy's Pension Plan. From the friends you can trust. If winning is a must, come play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
Get the flavor explosion that'll satisfy all your bacon cravings. The KFC Sweet and Smoky Bacon Sandwich from the Fried Chicken Experts features 2 crispy strips of bacon on a premium 100% white meat chicken filet, layered with 2 slices of cheese, smoky chipotle mayo, and our secret surprise, sweet bacon jam, all stacked on a buttery brioche bun. Experience the sweet and smoky explosion today, as it's here for a limited time. KFC Sweet and Smoky Bacon Sandwich. It's finger-licking good.
What would you do with extra cash?
Plan a trip.
Overhaul my wardrobe.
With CIBC First Caribbean, you can get comfy with savings on your mortgage costs. Buy or build your home or switch your mortgage to us and get up to US $1,000 off the loan application fee. Up to US $2,000 off home insurance. With up to US $10,000 towards switching costs, your pockets will be comfy too. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/get comfy for more information. Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
And we're back, Talking Heads with Naughty. This is Pearly filling in for Naughty. Today is Friday, September 1st, a very great month. Stay tuned. We're going to have Rich Eisen. It's going to be only about 8 minutes. He's going to talk about picks to win the AFC East. So that's going to be interesting to see what he's going to talk about. Who he's going to pick to come first, second, third, or fourth. And for boys, some Dolphins ain't gonna like what Rich Eisen got to say. Some Dolphins will not like what Rich Eisen has to say. I know I didn't like it. So just listen up. Rich Eisen's picks to win the AFC East is on the Rich Eisen Show. That's the final eight today. Boy, Rich. I ain't gonna say nothing. Let's put it this way. I ain't picking my Dolphins to win the East. All right? So that could be quite interesting to say. Football. 6 days. Who you pulling for? There was a question asked, and I think Nani and I spoke about it a little bit yesterday. Does the Jets with Aaron Rodgers have a better chance of making it to the Super Bowl than the Dak Prescott Dallas Cowboys? Which team has the better chance of making the Super Bowl? Not saying that either will make the Super Bowl now. They say who has the better chance to make the Super Bowl. And now you're going to go. Won't go and make noise because some Kansas City Chief fans, or they wouldn't like what I say. Some Dolphin fans would not like that. And I have to agree with the comments that Stephen A. Smith made, that he feels that the Dallas Cowboys have a better chance to make the Super Bowl than the New York Jets. So I said, He says, let's look at it. If you really look at the NFC, who does Dallas have to go through? And the teams that Dallas have to go through basically would be the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. I don't see any other team can challenge them. I don't even think Dallas could beat any of those two teams, but I don't see any other team. So Dallas' fight to get to the Super Bowl will be less. Now the Jets in their division, they got to get through the Patriots, the Dolphins, and the Bills. If you don't put the Patriots out and say the Patriots, you know, okay, the Dolphins and the Bills. Then they got to get past the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals. They got to get past the Kansas City Chiefs. They got to get past the L.A. Chargers. So and people are now looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Jets fight. You beat up this one, you got to beat up the next one, you got to beat up the next one. While the Cowboys got to beat up two people, the Jets may have to beat up five people or four people or four teams. Let's put it that way. I'm not encouraging fights. So based on that analogy alone and looking at what the Jets got to go through to get to the Super Bowl, not the playoffs, the Super Bowl. I don't think the Jets can make the playoffs, but anyway, that's a different story for a different day. The Super Bowl, they have a lot to go through. Whereas the road for the Dallas Cowboys is a lot easier. Not that they will do it, but it's a lot easier. Great show as usual, Pearly. Will the New York Giants make it to the Super Bowl within the next 25 years? Boy, them Giants could fumble the ball. But don't sleep. My sleeper team in the NFC is the New York Giants. Do not sleep on the New York Giants. They look good pretty much at the beginning of the season, had some problems in the back half. If they could put a complete season together, if they could do in the second half of the season what they did in the first half last year, they can beat the team to look at. And Naughty don't want to hear this, but I think they played the Giants the first game of the season. I think Cowboys coming out 0-1 on that. I almost believe that. I almost won't say that. Don't tell Naughty I say that though. Say Texas say, probably like the young people say, don't do it. I being real. This is my opinion, don't mean I could be wrong. For some of y'all's sake, I know y'all want me to be wrong. Y'all need me to be wrong. But I think football is going to be really fun this year. It's going to be different this year. The competition is a lot more. I think there are a lot more better teams. You know, you always have that. You can always tell at the beginning of the year which one, two, three, or four teams could be in the money. You may be able to tell that a little more in the NFC, but I still don't want to sleep on Detroit. Not that they had a good run last year. Let's see what happens. But I think you're going to see a lot more parity in the league. I think you're going to see some teams that you suspect not to win games can win some games. Them Washington Commanders, they can hurt some people's feelings. They're going to hurt some. They're not going to go anywhere, but they're going to hurt some people's feelings. What I mean by that, they can upset a team here or there. And don't let them be healthy in December and they go into Dallas or into Philadelphia or somewhere like that, and they are, or Buffalo, someplace like that, and they, or the Jets, and they beat them to hurt their playoff chances. That's what I mean when I say they can hurt some people's feelings. They're going to be competitive. They're going to look good. I like that quarterback they get. I don't know if, you know, I like what I saw in the last year, and I like what I saw in the preseason. Not enough to say bring him to Miami. Let's get that straight. But I like what I see in him. I like how he looked in preseason. He got a lot of playing time to see what he's good for. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see where that goes to. High school sports should be starting here pretty soon. So I'm excited about that. I just miss, when we went to school, it was no such thing as private BAISS or GSSSA. It was no such school, the public government school against private school. Wasn't that, you know? We played RM. SAC played CC Sweden. We played SC McPherson. We played each other. It wasn't whether there was just, you're going to play against SAC, you're going to play RM. That's what we did. It wasn't none of that public. So I wish today that we can see a lot of the schools playing each other so we could really see the talent that's out there. We got a call on the line. Caller, what you say?
What you say, Burley?
I ain't saying too much, man. My lawyer in the Dominican Republic, so I got to chill for a while.
All right, I got you on that.
What's happening?
Listen, our Dolphins.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir, mystery.
I hear from
you in a long time, you know. Where you been?
Oh, you finally recognized
me. No, at first I didn't recognize you right away, but I wonder where you been. I haven't spoken to you in a while.
The first letter I say or my mouth, Naughty, would have recognized my voice.
Hey, a little older than Naughty, you know.
Yeah. Listen, the first, our only downfall this season with the Dolphins is going to be Tua. And let me ask you a question.
Hold on. Before you ask me this question, tell me why you think he could be our downfall.
Because Tua, he's injury prone.
Okay.
That's why. Not because of his ability.
So if he stays healthy, then he won't be our downfall.
That's what I'm speaking about.
Okay.
I'm speaking about him health-wise.
Okay.
Okay, so what I want to know is, what did we do? What moves did we make in backup quarterback this season?
We brought Mitch White, the kid from the Jets, who's the Jets backup last year. And then Skylar Thompson is the third-string quarterback this year.
Thompson was always there, and he couldn't even do anything when Tua gone down.
I did say third string quarter. So Mitch White is. I don't think Mitch White is capable of carrying a team for the whole season, but he's capable of giving you a good game.
Okay, so in other words, we didn't do anything in quarterback.
You're not gonna see any team who have a super quarterback as the backup. If you could name one team who got a super quarterback as the backup, I stand corrected.
The Cowboys had a good quarterback as a backup last season.
Oh, you mean Cooper Kush? What is his name?
Yeah.
I think he had a good run. Nobody expected him to be like that.
Cooper was good. He's good.
No, he was good. Nobody expected him to do that. Nobody looked at him to do that. And I think Dallas cut him. I almost certain Dallas cut him.
Yeah, I wish we'd pick him up.
Okay.
I wish we'd pick him. But I believe that's going to be, I believe we got a really good team this season, but the quarterback area, I think that's going to be our own downfall.
If we can keep Tua safe and healthy, and he doesn't get hurt, I mean, I don't mind him missing a game here. You're going to have that. But if we can keep him relatively healthy, if he could play 14 or 15 of the 17 games, we win that division.
14 is asking a lot of the Tua, my brother.
It's asking him to be, but, you know, we had some issues last year, and he's worked on that. They were very much aware of what the issues were, him not, you know, in concussion. So people laugh at it, but he took jujitsu to learn how to properly fall and learn how to hit his head to the ground like that. And people have seen some, when he got some hits in the preseasons, how he felt, it was a vast difference.
You know, fellas can be gunning for him though, right?
Yeah, well, they gun for any quarterback. They can gun for Mahomes too. They can gun for Dak. They can gun for Hurts.
Yeah, but then they know your weakness, and I don't expect them to intentionally go for his head.
Well,
but,
I think we picked up this guy named Wynn, who's going to be the starting right tackle. I think we're going to have a much improved offensive line.
Really good. We need good protection for him.
I think
in order for him
to stay healthy, my brother.
I agree. I agree too. And I think I'm optimistic about him being healthy all season. And I really believe if he stays healthy, the Dolphins will
win that. And he needs to know how to ground that ball. Ground the ball when you see you're getting in trouble.
But all of that, they've worked on him in the offseason and OTAs. And they've worked on a lot of things to keep him healthy. Teach him how to get rid of the ball quicker. Teach him how to slide quicker. Teach him how to run out of bounds and don't try to get an extra yard. And also teaching him how to fall properly. So, a lot of people, really, if you really, really look at it, a lot of quarterbacks don't come to their own until their third and fourth year. This is really his third year. Not his third season, but his third year of playing. Because you know he missed.
No. I don't see. Listen, I don't look at it as third.
Yeah, you got to look at it because very few quarterbacks.
These guys making the money once they enter into pro league. Listen, I ain't hearing no excuse.
What money two are making? He's still on his rookie contract.
Huh?
He's still on his rookie contract. He can make the money done next year.
He's still on the rookie contract?
Yeah. That's why I'm telling you this basically his fourth year and this basically only his third year playing.
Okay.
All right. I'm optimistic. I'm really optimistic about the Dolphins. I feel good about the Dolphins. And I think we can be fine.
I feel good. I just feel a little iffy about the quarterback position.
You know what
I'll watch and see.
You know what my biggest concern is? I have two concerns. The fact that Jalen Ramsey is hurt. I'm concerned about that next side of the cornerback line.
Jalen Ramsey?
He's out for 4 weeks, minimum four weeks. I'm concerned about that. And I'm also concerned that we don't have a legitimate Kelce-type tight end.
Right.
Outside of that, I'm not worried about our wide receivers. We got some really good wide receivers. I think we got a really, really good running back room, and I think the rookie is going to be dominating by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Anytime that rookie touched the ball, mystery, he could bust one for a touchdown.
Yeah.
4.32 speed. 4.32 40. He has to. Mm-hmm. We have a great 4x1 team. We have a great 4x1 team, and if we could use our speed to our advantage, very few teams would be able to keep up in Miami. Very few.
Yep. Yeah, we're really going to have to depend also on Tyreek Hill and Waddle.
Yes. Barrios is going to be a factor as well. And there's another kid, he's an African named Ekwenange or something like that. Naughty met him last week when he was in Miami. He's going to do some stuff too. And then I think that the fullback is going to do a lot of the catching that a tight end should do. So I'm not too worried about the offense.
Hey, have a good one.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right.
Mr. All right. I guess we'll talk a lot more during the season. Texter, Pearly, I really think it would be a lot of sardine bandwagons this season. A whole lot. Listen, you notice people was cussing the Lakers, thinking dissing the Lakers, and the Lakers make it over to the Western Conference Finals, so a lot of people come back home. You see the Dolphins make a really, really good run? Man, Dolphin jersey sales can go out the roof. Behemoth just know how to jump on the bandwagon. And because the Dolphins is the more popular team, we will see a whole lot of people want to join that bandwagon. Even see Naughty starting to talk a little good about us, you know. Not that he can come, not that he will ever leave the Dallas Cowboys, but he's showing a little bit of I don't want to use the word sympathy, but a little bit of appreciation. Let's use that word. That's a better word. For my Miami Dolphins. So Mr., don't worry about it. If Tua stays healthy, he's gonna be fine. But if we look at, we can take a quick look at some of the teams in the NFL. I'm not too worried about Kansas City. They'll be there. They're probably the best team in football right now. If they stay healthy, it'll be tough to beat them. We got a caller, Mr. Dexter. Let's take this caller. Caller, you on the line?
Yeah, Pearly, how you doing?
Hey, Sparky.
Boy, you know something. You literally call yourself Miami Sardines because that's not the state Charlie can go to, you know.
Sparky.
Again,
Sparky.
Call going to Miami, going to the States.
Sparky. I have traveled all over the United States. I went to college in Minnesota. I've been to Denver, Colorado. I've been to Dallas, Texas. I've been all over Florida, all over New York City, Iowa, Wisconsin.
I ain't talking about you.
I am the Dolphin fan we're talking about.
No. I see all kind of people around here walking around with these dirty white kids with the green paint on it.
Who you put for?
I know when there was no football team in Miami.
Well, yeah, you were about 10 or 12 years old when that
Originally, when I first started, I always was a San Francisco Giants fan because I didn't like Willie Mays when I was young.
That's baseball, yes.
I was always before the Baltimore Colts fan because I didn't like Johnny Unitas.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Burt Jones.
When Johnny Unitas done passed, you know, then when Miami came, and I went to Pittsburgh Steelers. Because I didn't like, you know, the originals.
Okay.
You know, the three Super Bowl boys.
Terry Bradshaw and
yeah, all of them.
Franco Harris.
And everybody, there was no Miami Dolphins. And see, you don't only get fans because that's all the places where Bahamians could afford to go.
At the time.
Fort Lauderdale and Flagler Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you always call Miami the state. Bahamians, I mean, they go into Miami, they say they go into the state. I say it's 52 states. Y'all only go to Florida. You only go to Miami. Y'all only go to the states.
Listen, we don't go to Miami. We just go to Florida.
No, you only go to the states. I said, but you only go on to Florida. That's only one state. You ain't been to New York, Chicago, Detroit, New York.
Let me tell you.
On Baltimore and Maryland and all them places.
Let me tell you how. I've been to Baltimore. I've been to Washington, D.C., one of my most favorite cities.
Been to Chicago. Been to Detroit.
Been to Chicago. Been on Rush Street.
I've been to Houston and all places.
I've been to Yankee Stadium. I've been to Shea Stadium. I've been to the Metrodome.
I've been to the States. These fellas have been to Florida.
Now, I will be fair with you, Sparky. I've never been further west than Denver, Colorado. I've been to Omaha, Nebraska, too. But I've never been to Las Vegas, which is in my bucket list, and never been out to L.A., which is in my bucket list.
But you can say you've been to the state.
Yes, I can say that.
These other Bahamians only been to Florida. Most of them even ain't been to Florida. They've been to Miami. Some even ain't get out to Hialeah yet. They only been to Flagler, Biscayne Boulevard.
And to Walgreens for breakfast.
They've been to Walgreens and they've been to Ponce de Leon Hotel and Burger King down there on Flagler.
Ponce de Leon Hotel, Burger King, they're still there.
I don't know if that burned down, then Burger King underneath there burned down too. And Patricia Hotel and them. Columbus Hotel. You remember where the Greyhound bus station used to be across the road from Leamington?
Yes, I remember. As a little boy.
But going to them places. My old lady used to take us. When we used to go to Miami, we used to live from there where the sports center is.
Oh, okay. You literally
That used to be the airport. Oakfield Airport.
Yes.
Marquee Airline and then you can look out the window and see the propeller start to smoke.
Sparky.
It's like living from here to go to Miami, it's like you was on a train.
All right.
The noise right there is from the start to the finish.
Sparky, so you know what?
They was back in the day, but you know, I still a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but I'm in foreign football.
Steelers have a really good team this year.
Yeah, but like, are you a naughty, you know, what kindergarten these children been to school? You all know everything but these people like.
Well, it's fun, you know.
You all know more about these football, basketball players than you all know about your own family.
No. I know about my family now.
You all don't even know your cousin and your auntie them is.
You know
everything but Terry Bradshaw. What kindergarten he been to? What high school he been to? College he been to?
Sparky, let me tell you something about the Nixon or the Thompson family. The Thompson family is my daddy's side. The Nixon family is my mother's side.
You say Thompson?
Thompson, yes. On the
me and you is cousin then.
We probably are. The Thompson family on my daddy's side are very close. I talk to them every day. I talk to my cousins in Oakland, California, in Detroit, in New York. We have a chat and we talk every day.
You mean Mike Thompson, them three bands?
No. Earl Thompson.
See, that's a different Thompson.
Chippenham Thompson.
Okay, DeWitt Thompson.
I knew DeWitt very well.
Michael Sweetbelt, that's Michael Daddy.
Okay, I know very well, yes.
Twynham Avenue.
Yes.
Okay, Michael Sweetbelt Thompson married to my father on the Fountain side. So my father and Michael's mother are first cousins. So when you're calling me Sparky, when Michael see me downtown, he say, hey, Vincey. He called me Vincey.
I got you.
I call him Mike, y'all call him Sweetbelt.
Yes.
I know him before he got the QC to start playing basketball at the QC.
I got you.
I know when Michael used to just play basketball on the little hoop on the side of on top of the old man garage.
But we gotta go right now, Sparky. But before you go,
you know Andy.
Yes, but I'll tell you the story that his son Clay said. I saw an interview with Clay yesterday, And he bigged up Eric Gordon, Buddy Hield, and DeAndre Ayton for the way the team performed and beating Argentina twice, the number four team in the world in the FIBA playoffs. And he said, if we make it that far, then I'll be having some discussion. So he basically indicated that we would probably have Klay Thompson playing for us next year. But I got another caller coming, Sparky, and I got to go because
I hope the caller got some history like we got.
But you
got
it though, Sparky. But we'll talk soon.
I got history.
I can call you in the morning.
I can be talk show host too, you know.
I got you.
I cuss too much. I like naughty.
Okay. Take care, Sparky. Caller, you on there. You had the last 30 seconds.
Yes. This, I want to send a shout out to Arlington Williams, who graduated from Anatole Rogers, who went on as a walk-on on a D1 team and is now the newest Badger for Snow College, and he's number 93. I just want to say that.
I will be watching out for him.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Just before we go, we take these two quick texts. Rush is still the number two quarterback in Dallas, my fellow soccer. Okay, I didn't know that. Thank you. And good day, Purdy. Don't forget my draft on Sunday. Just a friendly reminder. Send me some. Oh, yes. I can send you something this afternoon. I saw your thing in Messenger. I can send you something tonight. All positions, not a problem. Okay? Thanks for listening. Oh, one last one. Colorado tomorrow. All right. Okay. Okay, Colorado tomorrow. I don't know what that means, but anyway, this has been fun. I'm going to take our last break, and when we come back, you're going to get Rich Eisen, who's going to talk about who's going to win the AFC East. This has been Talking Heads with Pearly. No, don't say it like that. Filling in for Naughty on Guardian Radio 96.9. Have a great weekend. Have a super weekend. Please stay safe, and we'll see you on Monday.
Juicy fried chicken, mashed potatoes with gravy, and a hot buttery biscuit for only $5. That's genius. Part of the KFC Genius menu, the KFC $5 snack box delivers on flavor and value. Need to feed more than one? KFC's Great Picks has got you covered. Packed with 4 thighs and 4 legs, fried to golden perfection, plus 4 buttery biscuits for only $20. More genius. Hungry for deals? The Genius Menu at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
What would you do with extra cash?
Plan a trip.
Overhaul my wardrobe.
With CIBC First Caribbean, you can get comfy with savings on your mortgage costs. Buy or build your home or switch your mortgage to us and get up to US $1,000 off the loan application fee. Up to US $2,000 off home insurance. With up to US $10,000 towards switching costs, your pockets will be comfy too. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/get comfy for more information. Conditions apply.
Refined style with elegant taste. Then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste. Then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
Put your best foot forward this school year by shopping at John's for your back-to-school foot care needs. From toddlers to college students, have your child looking smart in a pair of Hush Puppies, Sperry, Easy Strider brand styles, and many more. Durable and sharp, the kids will step with confidence all year. Need socks and a belt? We've got you covered. And don't forget a new backpack and lunch containers. You can find all this and more at the best prices and customer service in town at John's on Rosetta Street and Carmichael Road. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Ready to experience a classic Dunkin' Donut as the ultimate coffee delight? The new Dunkin' Boston Cream Latte is the perfect balance of sweetness and indulgence. Savor freshly brewed bold espresso, creamy milk, rich dark chocolate and vanilla flavors, all topped with whipped cream and drizzled with chocolate. Available hot or iced, the Dunkin' Boston Cream Latte has the taste sensation to make your heart sing. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
quality. Chris Brockman, you're first up.
Hey, Rich, I was just thinking, not to interrupt. Maybe I should go first and let you two, since this is your division, kind of like...
I think our control room can handle such a
That's
thing.
That's great. Great
audible. I mean, TJ Jefferson.
TJ, away we go.
Get me out the way, and let's let you guys give the people what they want.
Omaha.
And give you two.
Okay, you're up first, TJ.
All right, let's just knock this out, man. Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots. No offense, Brockman. I just feel like you guys are the fourth best team in the league.
None taken.
I don't want to, you know, get on the Rich Eisen hype train, but I know what I'm seeing. Aaron Rodgers makes throws that no one else can make, and Garrett Wilson's really good at catching throws. So when you put those two together, I think the Jets are going to turn things around. But right now, until somebody knocks the Bills off, I got them winning the division. And the Dolphins, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be bad by any stretch of the imagination, but we had to put them in some type of order. There's mine. Bills, Jets, Dolphins. Pats, I can't wait to see what you guys have.
Christopher?
Rich, I'm going to give the people what they want. It's the Bills division. I can understand that, okay? Josh Allen is awesome. One of the favorites for MVP. Maybe they finally get off the hump, over the hump, and go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. The Jets and Dolphins stink, okay? Here's the deal. Tua's not going to stay healthy. None of the running backs have a great injury history either, okay? I don't care how great Vic Fangio is at coordinating a defense, he's not out there playing defense. Jalen Ramsey's not going to be back till December, and by then it's going to be way too late. Okay, Christian Wilkins is already threatening a holdout contract issue. There's something going on there. The Dolphins are fourth in this division. The Jets are the Jets. They're improved, yes, but they've been losers for 50 years. I'm not sold on the act Robert Saleh is giving in Hard Knocks, okay? It's like he went to Broadway. They're talking about Broadway on Hard Knocks a lot and going to all these plays. They're asking Zach Wilson, his favorite play is Wicked. This is the greatest performance of Robert Saleh's life, okay? He is pretending to be a badass, hard-ass coach, and I don't buy it. I don't buy that the line is going to protect Rodgers for a whole year. The Patriots have actually improved better than any team in this division with a new offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien, who's a great coach and knows how to lead a quarterback. Mac Jones is going to be much improved. The wide receiver room is really, really good. Add in Mike Gesicki to go with Hunter Henry, who's a red zone beast. Add in Bill Belichick knocking out the draft this year. The Patriots are going to be a playoff team, but they're still going to be second to the Bills because Josh Allen owns New England right now. I cede the floor to you.
Okay, my only question for you is when you say you're giving the people what they want, who are those people? That you just serviced.
My people.
Oh, okay.
I am a mouthpiece.
Just was wondering.
For the New England fan, Rich.
Just wondering.
Like TJ.
Who those people
sometimes
are.
I peruse in the comments and
all
I see
right.
what you guys all say.
I don't know
giving
those people.
What they want.
I don't know those people.
Bills,
honestly.
Pats, moving on just like the old days.
All right. This is why I went first. I didn't want to follow this.
Here we go. Here's my AFC East prediction. You know how I feel this is the Jets' time. But not yet to win the division.
Oh.
I've said it over and over again this summer,
Richardson. And
I am going to repeat it.
Reverse jinx.
It's not a reverse jinx. I have been saying it all summer, and despite how excited I am and the Jets fan base is excited as we are, this is the Bills division to win or lose. And the first game out is a crucial one because the Jets need to win home games in their division, and they may well win this first one, but the rest of the crucible that's to come, I believe the Bills, it is their division to win or lose, and I believe they will wind up winning it, and the Jets will make the playoffs and have to do it from a position on the road, unless others, 6 and 7 seed, go ahead and win. Maybe the Jets will get a home game then in the playoffs, should they advance. The Dolphins are a mystery. I keep saying how they are offensively terrific, and I think that's not much of a mystery. Tua is the mystery of whether his jiu-jitsu in falling and learning how to fall will actually help. You know, him throwing his head into a tackle to prevent a preseason pick six wasn't the best idea, but maybe that was a jiu-jitsu move. He learned how to get his head out and just use his body for the tackle. I'm being facetious when I say I'm scared for him. You know I love Salty too. I want to see it, and I'd love to see him out there. Defensively is the mystery of just how good they're going to be with Vic Fangio coordinating them. So they can make the playoffs potentially, but I still think they're third in this division. And is
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.